Be seated.
Well, we continue in Mark, and you know, we've been doing these choppy little stories. Well, let's see. Can we make that advance one? Because this is not working. So we're going to be talking about the parable of the sower. Now, before we dive into this, I want to remind you that when these things were written, we didn't have the New Testament. These stories hadn't been written. The people who are hearing these stories are hearing them for the first time. And as we look at something like the parable of the sower, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, these are familiar stories. And you kind of like, yeah, I know the point of the story before you even get started. But remember, the people that are hearing it for the first time, this is all news to them. It was an agricultural society. And so Jesus taught very often in parables. He told stories that made a point. And what happens here in this particular story is he tells the story and not everybody gets it. So we're going to be talking a lot about why some people get it and some people don't get it. So, but I have a question for you. Why do we need to know how to manage these things? Why do we need to know how to explain scripture to someone who doesn't get it? Why do you think that is? I had taught a class many years ago in another church. It was called Christian Apologetics. It's teaching people how to defend the faith. And I remember this lady who'd been a Christian most of her life. She stopped early on. She says, I don't know why I need to know all this stuff. I love the Lord. I have Jesus in my heart. And really, that's really all I need. And what I said to her was something like this. I said, that's great that you have the Holy Spirit and that you have Jesus and that you're going to heaven. But you're walking in a world of people who don't have that. And they may not get it. And they look to you, and if you just tell them, well, you know, I just have Jesus in my heart, that isn't very compelling. So at some level, we need to be able to take the words of the gospel and to be able to explain it. And one of the things that I want you to pick out in this story is that even the disciples, didn't always get it. And so I want you to understand that's why it says, love the Lord your God with all your mind. That's why we do Bible studies. That's why we do sermons and we divine the word the way we do. So that we get to be better facilitators of the word. Because we live in a world where people hear the words and it just bounces right off. Is that your experience? So that's one of the reasons we need to do what we do here. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 4. And going forward, I really, because we go verse by verse in the scriptures, I would really like for you to have a Bible in front of you. Well, pull a Bible out of the pew, go to Mark chapter 4. If you do not own a Bible, let me know and I will give you a Bible. It's important that you have a Bible, that you have your Bible. Because as you read along or listen to a sermon or you're sitting at home doing a Bible study, it's important for you because things will jump off the page at you and you need to take and make a note. Yes, it's okay for you to write in your Bible. In fact, I encourage you. If you have your own Bible, your pastor actually gives you permission to write in your Bible in ink. How about that? It's that important. So if you do not own a Bible of your own, then let me know. I'll give you a Bible. But in the meantime, when we're here, it would help me if you're looking at it. I know I have them up on the screen and I'm reading them and all that, but you need to see them also. So we're in Mark chapter 4, and there's a lot of text, but you're going to see that basically we're telling the same story twice. We're Mark chapter 4, 1 through 20. So our parable today focuses on how people respond to the word. Jesus opens his teaching in the first few verses, and he has a very strong statement here. Look what it says in verses 1, 2, 3. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and he sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. So that's where the story begins. So you get the picture. There's so many people crowded along the beach that he needs to have a little separation. And so he just gets in a boat and pulls off just a little bit. So now they're all standing on the beach and he's out of the boat. And if you've been to Israel, some of the places where they pull in the boats, there's almost a natural sound effect. So they can hear you even from a distance. So he's teaching this thing. He starts right off by listen. This is a very, very strong word in Scripture. It's actually a command. It's a command. It's grounded in a passage in Deuteronomy 6. Devout Jews say this prayer every morning, and it begins in Deuteronomy 6. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. Hear. When you look at this in the Greek, this word "hear" is translated not so much as listen to the sound that's coming out of my mouth. Listen has the same effect as a command. If you have children or grandchildren and they're acting up, and you tell them something and they look like they're not paying attention, and you say things like, "You hear me?" Now, you're not asking that child if they heard your voice. You're trying to communicate something. Hear, O Israel. It has the same effect in the original language as the word obey. So you can almost say the word in Greek could be translated hear and obey. So Jesus starts this parable by saying, listen, behold, the sower goes out to sow. Now what we're going to do is we're going to run through the parable, then we're going to back up and go through the parable again, but you'll see why in just a second. Jesus knew that not everybody gathered that day would really hear his message. But others, the message may bear fruit. So what's the difference? Well, to find an answer, consider the sower who sows. In this case, it's Jesus. The sower sows the seed. But the sower is also you and me. This pastor I was listening to this morning, I mentioned, he was saying how wonderful it was in his church. They had ministries to the poor. They had ministries to the young people. They had ministries to missions overseas. They were reaching out in every possible direction, and a lot of the growth in their church were coming from those ministries because they're out spreading the gospel. They're out talking to people, and that draws people in. So hear and obey. So the sower is also you and me. So the preacher on Sunday morning, the missionary in the third world country, all of us, anyone who shares the gospel is spreading the seeds as they go about their life. So how does the sower sow the seed? Well, we see in the opening verses that Jesus taught in this parable that the sower just goes around throwing the seed on the ground. That's kind of how they did it in those days. The seed is spread far and wide on all kinds of ground. Some fall on rocks and thorns. A farmer couldn't make his field perfect before spreading. That's not kind of how they did it. They would clear out some of the rocks, but basically they would throw out the grain, and they would get what they would get. But he spread his seed throughout the field, preparing for an abundant harvest, and then he waited to see what would happen. Just like we do. Just like we do. How many people do you know that you've shared Jesus with over years and years, maybe even decades, and they smile at you, and they say, "Thank you very much," and nothing happens? Or they say, "Well, I'm not really interested." And if you ever get to the point of saying, "Well, I've done it. I've spread all the seed I can, so there's no point in me spreading any more seed," so you're completely missing the point. The farmer spreads the seed and just waits to see what God does with that. So should we spread the gospel to everybody all the time, repetitively, even if it takes decades, because you never know when their heart will change, and that seed of the gospel at the appointed time will fall on fertile soil. So you and I are the sowers. Simple enough, right? So let's read what he has to say here. So here's basically the parable. "And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. He goes on to say this. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Wow, there you go. And we, as Christians, if you've been in the Bible any part of your life, you listen to that story and you say, I completely get it. That makes nothing but sense to me. And we all, because we already know what comes next. We already have Jesus' explanation. But in those days, people didn't have that. So what I find very interesting is what happens next. That was simple enough, and you and I get it now with 20/20 hindsight, but not everybody understood that. In fact, for some, the parable only complicated matters. Like, what is he talking about? The grain and the sowing and the seeds. What is, I thought this guy was a rabbi and a prophet. Didn't know he was a farmer. Now Jesus has to explain himself. Here's the interesting thing. He has to explain himself to the disciples. He has to explain himself to the 12. To the 12 that he called. Even they were not clear on what the message was. So now let's go through, how did Jesus explain this to his followers? He goes on in verse 10. And when he was alone, around and those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parable, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Look at that last statement. Do you not understand the parables? How then are you going to understand all the parables? Do you not understand some of the more complicated issues in your Bible? If you don't, how are you going to explain those to someone else? Sometimes we gloss over the more complicated issues in Scripture because they're hard to understand, and I'll just skip that part. But you're going to run into people who do not have ears to hear, and they're going to come to you because you're a Christian, and you theoretically could explain to them what the Bible meant. Now, most of you know my story. I didn't come to the Lord until I was 45 on that simple problem. Many people came to me and spread the seed. And when I went to them and said, can you explain that to me? They couldn't explain it to me. So for 45 years, I didn't have anything to do with it. Until I finally ran across people who would say, oh, that's a good question. Let me explain it to you. Just like Jesus did. And then the explanation itself is valuable, but the point here I want you to get is it's important for us to make sure we understand the parables, the doctrine of grace, things like that. Now, I'm not saying you've got to be a theologian, right? I'm not saying you have to have a systematic theology book and none of that stuff. But it is my heartfelt belief that every Christian, at a bare minimum, ought to be able to explain to someone why they're a Christian. If you can't explain to someone else why you're a Christian, why on earth would they become a Christian? So I think that's the issue here. And the other part of the story is you never know what kind of soil you're dealing with. You see, we understand already, because of having the Bible, that when he talks about soil, he's talking about people's hearts, and we're going to delve into that. But you never know what kind of soil you're dealing with when you share the gospel with people. Your job is just to get the seed out there. And not to evaluate, well, that's rocky soil, I'm not going to tell them about the gospel. But we go on. Now, by the way, is he saying he speaks a parable to make sure some people won't hear the truth? No, that's not what he's saying. Now, to some degree, we all understand that. Not everyone who hears the gospel is going to really hear the gospel. Listen to what Paul says about that. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they're spiritually discerned. Some of the people you're sharing the gospel with who don't respond are not spiritually discerned. They haven't been touched by the Holy Spirit yet. And you'll never know when that happens. So you need to keep sowing the seed, because what will happen is, like we said in our call to worship in Ezekiel, he says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you from your heart and give you a heart of flesh. That's what that opening verse was about. The Holy Spirit will change a person's heart of stone, rocky soil, to a heart of flesh, fertile soil. And you never know when that's going to happen. So your job is to keep putting the seed out there. Put the seed out there. Now, in terms of our church growing enough so that we can reach out to the world, to the community, we are sowing seed where we already have a crop. And believe me, I'm blessed that you're here. But we already have a crop here. We need to be sowing the seed, and we need to find the fertile soil. We need to be sharing the gospel, spreading the seed in places where we do not have people already, so that we can bring in the harvest. So this parable then is not merely just a story of a sower sowing seed. It's God's questions to us. When the sower sows his seed, what will the seed find to rest on? What kind of soil is in our heart? So let's look at the different kinds of soil, shall we? First, we'll talk about the hard and dry heart. In our next couple of verses, the sower sows the word. We know who that is. That's Jesus. That's us. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown on them, the rocky, dry soil. And so, since you don't know which is which, you can't say, I'm not going to sow the seed there because I don't know whether that's fertile soil or not. But that's what happens. If the heart has not been changed, the seed, well, basically bounces off. We've seen so far in Mark's gospel with this kind of heart, the best example is the Pharisees. The Pharisees should have known the things of God, the things of Christ and the kingdom. They were students of the Old Testament. And yet, time after time after time, the word just bounced off of them. They don't accept Jesus as their Lord. They oppose him as their enemy. The more Jesus speaks, the more he heals, the more he teaches, the harder their heart gets. It's the scariest heart of all. It's uninterested in hearing him and therefore unable to hear him. What happens to this kind of heart? Well, when they hear, Satan immediately comes along and snatches the word away. Satan wants to take away your desires for God, by the way, no matter how small they may be. That's why Peter tells us to be sober-minded and be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And by the way, Satan has a million ways of taking away the seed. A million ways of doing that. He's really good at distracting us from God. When people say, well, I'm not going to be in church this Sunday because, and then fill in the blank. I'm going to a football game. I'm going to go meet somebody for lunch. I have to go get a haircut. They have all of these things. Oh, no, I love the Lord and I love my church, right? And I'll be there, the other 49 weeks of the year. But this Sunday, I have something else to do. If you believed that Jesus was here in this building on Sunday morning, where else in the world would you rather be? That's why we need to get everybody back. Because you never, ever replace coming to worship the Lord with anything else. I had a friend many, many years ago. He and I grew up together, and he was a dear friend, but he had this horrible, horrible habit. He and I would make plans to go do something. And then as it got close to the time to go do something, he would call me and tell me, look, I know we were supposed to go do something else, but something better came up, and I'm going to go do that. Well, wait a minute. You know, we had plans. Yeah, I know, but what we were going to do, what I have an opportunity to go do is way better than that, so I'm going to go do that. Drove me crazy. But you know, when you get called to go do something on a Sunday, and you say, okay, I'm a dedicated churchgoer, and I'm there just about every Sunday of the year, so it's not that big a deal for me to skip this Sunday and go play. What you're saying is, I love the Lord, I love my church, but this opportunity is really cool, and I'm going to go do that. You're choosing to go elsewhere. What's the next kind of soil? Well, the shallow soil. It says here in verse 16, 17, and these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. Now, these are people that actually listen to you and say, yeah, this sounds good. But they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. These are the people who, they'll provisionally accept Christianity. They'll start coming to church because this is a good place to be. People are nice. They smile. They have good fellowship and all that kind of stuff. And then bad stuff happens in their life. And they blame God. And they don't have, or someone comes along and shows them why Christianity is foolish. And they don't have any roots. So they are blown away. Remember what I said at the beginning, why it's important for all of us to know what we're talking about? So that we can help these people that are not strongly rooted in the word. How about the third kind? The third kind is the crowded and anxious heart. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke out the word, and it proves unfruitful. I've decided to become a Christian. I've been going to church, but I'm still hanging out with my friends who drink and party and, well, let's just fill in the blank. I'm still running with this crowd that does all of that stuff. Those are the thorns, folks. When you were a kid, your mom used to tell you, you know, the people you hang out with are the biggest influence on you. Don't hang out with those people. That's biblical wisdom. Those are the thorns. You can hear the word and you can be attracted to the word, but if you're living among thorns, if you're not associating with other believers, then the deceitfulness of the world will overcome you, just like a plant or a seed that's growing in a thorn bush. The thorn bush will choke it out. And then the fourth kind of soil is the soft and open heart. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. The danger is we're looking for the fertile soil to share the gospel. I want to really try to find people who are open to the word. And I want to spend time with those people. Because those who have the soft heart, or they are the fertile soil, that's the best use of my time. God forbid you should be out in the world trying to assess the condition of somebody's heart. You don't know that. You don't know it by their behavior. You don't know it by their words. Your only job is to sow the seed. And here's the other thing, just like our call to worship. There will be a moment in time for those that God Christ calls. It's a moment in time where the Holy Spirit changes the heart of stone into heart of flesh. And there's no way you can tell by looking at somebody that happened. There's no way you can discern if they have a heart of stone or heart of flesh. All you know is that they're a field, and you're the sower. sow the seed far and wide. This is the heart of Jesus' disciples. They accept his word. They follow him when it's hard. They stick with him when they don't understand. They want Jesus. They got not only the knowledge of his kingdom, they get his kingdom. The soft and open heart is the heart of every true Christian. How do we get the good soil? How do we get it? By being a good person? By removing the rocks underneath? You know, can I fix myself? No. Can you become fertile soil by pulling out all the weeds in your life? Here's the problem. You can never pull out all the rocks. You can never pull out all the weeds. You cannot do it on your own. We need another way. Interestingly, the only gospel account that doesn't include this parable is in John's gospel. But John addresses it. He addresses it like this. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Truly, truly, the seed must go into the ground and die." Who is that? That's Jesus. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is how that works. So to kind of wrap this up, look, what kind of soil is your heart? What kind of soil is your, what is the seed doing in your life? You say, well, I'm saved, so I must be okay. Well, there's more to it than that. Is it hard and dry? Is it shallow and rocky? Here's our challenge. Consider the soil of your heart this week. Does it need tilling? Does it need fertilizing? Does it need more watering? Are you in the Word? Are you inviting people to Bible study? Are you inviting people to church? What can you do this very week to prepare the soil of your heart to receive the seed? Thus, consider how you will produce 100-fold for the kingdom. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we pray that we will have ears to hear and eyes to see. We pray, Father, that we will hear and obey, because we know, Lord, that you and you alone are the only way for us to reach the kingdom of God. Father, as we spend time studying the Word, we do so that we become better sowers of the Word. So open our hearts and our minds to encourage us, to empower us. We ask this in Jesus' name.